Salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. Good Friday morning. What it is here. And again, honored that you would join us. Welcome to all the folks here at BeforeIt'sNews.com that are streaming across the internet. I'm the tradition. What is it? Why would I call myself? I'm the tradition slayer. You know, some traditions are good, but I'm one of those guys who tried to figure out, why do we do those traditions? Where did that tradition come from? And whose idea was that? Christmas. Whose idea was that? That would Christmas, and then all of a sudden it would morph from the birth of the Savior to jolly old St. Nicholas coming down a Christmas tree to handing out Christmas presents to everybody, to going into great debt to buy Christmas presents, people that you don't even really like, but you're supposed to get it for them because it's Christmas, to how'd Christmas become the tradition that it is? Paganized. I drove by the Lion's Den here locally. Lion's Den is a porn shop. Not making this up. The Lion's Den puts Christmas lights up. They decorate their building at Christmas. That's what Christmas has become. And here we are in the midst of Holy Week, and I don't want to... Listen, here's what I tell everybody. I just want to know the truth. And I just want to believe the truth, and I just want to follow the truth. And you know what happens to so many of us? We cling so hard to our traditions that somehow giving up or coming to the realization of what a tradition is and its foundations and its roots, when we do that, it causes a spiritual indigestion. Folks, listen, some of these things that they've been telling us to do that aren't true, relax. Let them go. There is liberty in Christ. Religion creates bondage. We'll say it again. It's one of the reasons, I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons that the young people that I saw in Thomas Worthington the other day, Thomas Worthington High School, that's one of the reasons they're turned off. Religion to them is bondage. Christianity, Christ is liberty. With the Spirit of the Lord is there's liberty. Religion is bondage. Jesus said, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. What is the word of God? What is the word of God supposed to do to us and in us and through us as opposed to religious traditions? And some traditions, don't get me wrong, again, some traditions are good. But I'm just curious as to where some of them came from and why we follow them. Where did Halloween come from? It's not a religious tradition, but where did it come from? Well, it came from Hallow Eve's All Saints Day was what? First day of November, that's All Saints Day. And so the night before All Saints Day become hallowed halls, hallowed days. Remember this. Everything that Christ did, the devil tries to counterfeit. Everything. And as I said yesterday, and I'm going to continue to say, because I want you to think this through, religion is the dead faith of those now living. Religion. It's rules and regulations and no life to it. Traditions. But Christianity is the living faith, the faith that is alive today from those who are now dead. They've passed it on, a living faith. I was raised Catholic. I've shared that with you a number of times. Because I was raised Catholic, I was immersed in so many traditions do's and don'ts. And it wasn't liberty in it. Sorry, it wasn't liberty in it. And I remember when I had my first communion, and sort of remember, they took a picture of our first communion class, our catechism class, where I guess they trained us in the laws and the rules of the Catholic Church. And big deal. At age 7, I think it was, I took my first communion. Didn't know what it meant. Still don't really know what that meant. Still, we're going to get into that today. Let me back off a second. We are going to take communion today. So as you're watching this show, whether you're watching it live or whether you're watching it on tape delay, it isn't tape. It's stuck, right? Whether you're watching it on a podcast later on, please join with us. And I just thought it'd be appropriate to do it. In fact, I was going to have Larry do it, but Larry's kind of out of commission now. He's down at his father's, I think, somewhere near Texas, I believe. But I called Larry yesterday, and I didn't get a call back from him. So if Larry's mad at me on Monday because he didn't get to lead us in communion, you guys protect me. Let him know it wasn't my fault. Let me go to a couple things here real quickly. I want to excuse me. I'm really excited. You know, I don't normally say that, but I am excited about get that out of my head. All hands on deck. June, Jared, go to our calendar real quick if you could. Folks, I can't even tell you how much I'd love for you to be able to come. Can't even tell you. It's going to be held in June. Now, listen, I know we talked yesterday about Bobby Lee's event coming up, but I'm talking about the June event because what is this? This is April 18th, May, June. It'll be here in 2 months. We have 8 weeks. So our national event, All Hands on Deck. It's held right here locally at Thornville, Ohio, which sits right on Buckeye Lake. We get to do it at Mike Blake, one of our Salt and Light guys, has been kind enough to, he has a 3-acre plot sits right on Buckeye Lake. And we are going to this year, I got to talk to Mike, but I know it's not going to be a problem. We're going to go out and we're going to rent a great big tent under the big top. We're going to rent a large tent, not that people can sleep under, that we can eat under. Because it'll be hot and sunny. If it rains like it did a little bit last year, we don't have to run for cover. We want you to come and spend the weekend with us. And I want you, our event, I'm looking at what Jared has up there. Jared, we do have to make a correction because we want this event to begin Friday morning. Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Are you hearing me there, Jared? Maybe I can get you those corrections up there. So there, some of you, it's good. Listen, it's going to be well worth it. You can drive in. There's a camp, KOA close if you want to camp. There's hotels. And as I said, we're going to put up the big tent and let people sleep under that big tent. You'd have to bring your own, your own blow up mattress and that kind of stuff if you want to. But expenses as far as being sleeping is not going to be an issue. And during this event, and I'm not going to give out the full schedule, excuse me, just so you have some idea, we're going to go to an abortion clinic. We're going to go to the Gay Pride Parade. We're going to go to the Nephilim Mounds. And we're going to go visit a local church and encourage them to help us end abortion. Those are the four major events that we have planned during this year's All Hands on Deck. We would love for you to come. We had 77 people from 21 states last year. I would love to double it. I'd like to have 200 people. I wouldn't have to double the stakes, but I'd love more of you to come, take part in, be part of the great fellowship and getting to know each other. That's it. That's again, June 14th. It's Father's Day weekend. I understand. Okay. I understand that you want to be home for Father's Day. We're going to release you early on Sunday morning to go back home so you can get home maybe and have a Father's Day a meal in the evening with your family. All hands on deck. June 14th, no, Jared, it would be the 13th, wouldn't it? Because the 13th, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Somebody help me out here. There it is. Hold up here a second. Because may have to rethink all this to make sure that we get it right. June 14th is Friday. June 14th and 15th, and then it'll bleed a little bit into Sunday morning, but not much, okay? You'd be free to go. So again, now we're going to have this set up. If you're going to come, we're going to need you to register. We're going to need you to register. And yes, we're going to charge $25, but that's going to include three meals. And the $25 helps pay for the expenses, but pays for the meals. So $25 a head to be able to come with it. That includes your ability to be able to sleep on the ground. You can bring your own tent and do whatever. So we'll get more information out there, but please make it a vacation. Make that a vacation and come and join us. It is kind of a flea flicker Friday. Before I get going too deep, I got some traditions that I'm going to beat up here this morning. And just wonder, before I get beating up those traditions, anybody have anything for the good of the group they'd like to throw on the table real quick? Give you a chance to do that. Oh, again, we're going to do communion the last 10 minutes of the show. So go get something you're going to eat and drink. And again, if you're watching it on as a podcast, or you're watching it on the internet after we've done it, you're still welcome to join with it. Kevin Van Store had a grandson last night, Raiden Lee Don. God bless you, Kevin. 22 inches, 8 pounds. Cool. I'm just reading over here in the chat. Anybody for the good of the group? Cool. Okay. Is it okay if I start?
Dave, I was going to get in here. Sorry. Hey,
that's all right, bud.
All right. Okay. Well, I just wanted to announce, I'm kind of dragging my feet a little bit on this, but Texas, we're having our monthly brigade meeting next weekend, not this allegedly Easter weekend, but the one after that. So that 27th, 28th, somewhere around in there. Anyway, that weekend we're having at 7 p.m. on the Friday. So RSVP, please, if you're going to attend. Thank you.
I would be the 28th and 29th. Nope, wrong place. I'm looking, Chad. Sorry. 26th and 27th. Chad Estes, the Estes Ranch, Set Texas Salt and Light Brigade. having an event there. Hey, Chad. I just got an email from Jennifer Peterson, Jennifer Campbell. And, you know, she's been battling cancer. Todd Barham, these are two members of your brigade, Chad. Todd Barham started another round of chemotherapy yesterday over this holiday weekend. So I'm wondering if somebody would lift those two up. Jennifer and Todd. Maybe you wanted to lift them to the Lord this morning. You do that, Chad?
Hey, Coach, and Denny too.
And Denny Bryan, yeah, Denny Bryan. Denny's going through a rough spot as well. So somebody do that. Chad, you want to do that?
Sure. Lord, Heavenly Father, we boldly come to the throne of grace, Lord, and we ask for a healing. Lord, we believe it. We claim your authority. For Jesus' name, we rebuke evil. Rebuke all those sickness demons that are attempting to attack us and push back and to weigh us down and block us from coming boldly for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Jennifer and Todd and Denny. Denny, I told Denny yesterday, well, text him, I didn't speak to him. I said, Denny, we miss your cheerful voice. He said he's just low on energy. Just, you know, Denny's. Anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Chad. Thanks for praying. Okay, can I bust it? Hey, boys and girls, please understand this. You do not have to believe anything that I bring to the table. There's nothing that causes more tension in the body of Christ than somebody who questions a tradition. And I brought it up the other day. You know, isn't it amazing how to do a teaching on this? The most Americans, Christian Americans, follow the traditions of Easter, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, which was last night, Good Friday, which is today, the Resurrection, which is Sunday. But we ignore the feast. We ignore the feast that Jesus clearly celebrated, the feast of the Old Testament. We ignore totally. In fact, I could do a test right now. Most of us couldn't name the feast. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to put me on the spot. But the feast that Jesus celebrated, for the most part, Christians ignore. And we've come up with our own new set of things that we follow, and we call it Holy Week. Well, that would be good. But I asked a question just the other day, where did Holy Week come from? About this whole crucifixion thing. Where did this whole crucifixion thing? Listen, I thank God for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I thank God that when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, that he prayed so hard, the blood came out of his pores. I thank God for the anguish that he went through. I thank God for the sacrifice that he made. I thank God for the liberty that he gave me by giving me victory over death, hell, and the grave. I so am thankful for all of that. But I question why we do what we do, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. And by doing so, making the word of God of none effect. Can I give you a for instance? I was raised Catholic. We're going to take communion later. Catholics believe that this becomes, well, first of all, a Catholic wouldn't believe that we could even do this, right? Catholics would believe that through the Mass, they actually crucified Jesus again. And at the conclusion of the Mass, they take communion, which they believe in a thing called transubstantiation, meaning that it actually becomes the literal body and blood of Jesus. And so I was asking myself even this morning, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Whose idea was communion? Where'd that come from? I said, well, Coach, it's right there in the scripture. Is it? Stay with me. Jared, pull up the first thing there, the crucifixion timeline. Now, it doesn't matter to me, okay? I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I came across this today, and it's always, you know, the whole idea, again, as we're talking about, all of Christendom is now celebrating what we call the Holy Week, Good Friday. And I began to read this, and I couldn't disagree with much of it. Good Friday is a Roman Catholic invention. The Bible says Jesus went to the cross on Wednesday. Time out, man. Are we all going to be friends when I'm done? Yeah, I don't listen. You believe what you want to believe. You believe what you want to believe. Right here, we bring stuff to the table, and then you, on your own, through the Holy Spirit, have the opportunity to determine whether it's true or not. Okay, that's all. Jared, let's scroll down through this. There you go. Thanks. The Believer's Bible Guide to Crucifixion Timeline. All over the world this Friday, Christians and Catholics will be observing Good Friday. The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus went to the cross on Friday and rose from the grave on Sunday morning. It sounds right. And mostly everyone across the board accepts those days in that chronology. Except there's only one problem. It's completely wrong according to the biblical account of what happened. Matthew 12:40 says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights. 3 days, three full days, and three full nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There it is. Three full days, three full nights. The Catholic teaching is based on 1 Corinthians 15:4, which says this. Time out. The reason we're not beating up on the Catholics is where we got all of our traditions. That's where all of the traditions came from, okay? We know about the Reformation when the Reformation came apart and everybody broke away from the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church started the traditions. So 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. They count Friday as one day, Saturday as the second day, and Sunday as the third day. 3 days. Only there's a problem with it. That's not 3 days. It's barely a day and a half according to the Jewish calendar. Jesus did not rise on Sunday morning. The Bible says that he already was risen by the time Sunday morning rolled around. Here, read it for yourself. Mark 16:9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, that's Sunday, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, in the gospel accounts, Jesus had already risen on Sunday morning. There's no account of his rising at that time. It had already happened. She just happened to show up in the morning, and he was already gone. So if the Roman Catholic timeline is followed, you would have at the most 30 hours of elapsed time, not even close enough to the 3 days and three nights that Jesus himself would transpire. So the Jewish day still starts the way it did in Genesis when God created it. In the first chapter of Genesis, we see God creating our 24-hour day. He made up of the hours, 12 hours of evening and 12 hours of morning. This is exactly how we still chart time here in 2019. But the Bible says that God started the day at 6 p.m. Make a mental note of that, because whether we come back to that point just a bit, you're going to remember. In other words, he created the morning and the evening and the morning. God always moves from dark to light. So the day began in the evening. That's hard for us to understand because we have time beginning in the morning. The day beginning in the morning when we get it. But no, the day actually began at sundown the night before. Follow me, okay? Jesus said in Matthew, his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection would match that of what had happened to the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. In Matthew 12:40, he said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There you have it. The required time mandated by Jesus himself is three full days and three full nights. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday morning and taken down off the cross before sundown at 6 p.m. when Thursday would begin. To us, that's still Wednesday night, but on the Jewish calendar, 6 p.m. starts the next day. Let me call a time out here. Anybody want to throw anything on the table yet? Don't have to. We'll keep going.
Getting close.
So John 19:31 says this. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. But folks, there were two Sabbath days during Passover. Now, please note the phrase, the Sabbath day was on a high day. This is not the regular Sabbath day. It's a high, special, high Sabbath day. What was so special about this high day? It was Passover. It was a holy day. It was a high day. This Passover fell on Thursday. It was followed by the days of unleavened bread found in Leviticus. Leviticus 3:23-5. In the 14th day of the first month At evening is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And then the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do no servile work therein. No work on Passover. You with me? So now that you see that Passover was on Thursday, the age-old Pascha-Passover controversy has been solved. In King James Bible, Acts 12:4, uses the word Easter instead of the word Pascha, which means Passover, which is precisely what Luke was referring to, the pagan holiday of Easter on that Saturday, not the Jewish Passover, which had already finished. Acts 12:3 says Peter was taken during the days of unleavened bread, right? Is this getting complicated? Bear with me. And because he saw to please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These then were the days of unleavened bread. Well, I just showed you that according to the Old Testament, the days of unleavened bread came after the Passover. So in Acts 12:4, Luke rightly recorded it as being Easter, not the Passover, which had already expired. See how simple it is when you actually believe what you read and just read it. Now let's get back to those 3 days and three nights. He arose. Remember now, in the week Jesus was crucified, there are two Sabbath days. Not only one. Passover is a Sabbath day. You have the high Sabbath day on Thursday, which was Passover. And you have the regular Sabbath day, which fell on Saturday, as they do each week at the end of the week. And Mark recorded it this way, March 16. Yeah, Joe?
Let me clarify something here for you. I don't know where you got this article or something. Passover is Passover. It is not a high holy day, per se. The next day after Passover which begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread, starts with a high holy day. Then we go through the week, we have a regular Sabbath, and at the end of the feast, we have another high holy day. But Passover itself is separate.
Gotcha. Okay, cool, gotcha. Remember now, in the weeks Jesus was crucified, there are two, well, this guy's going to say it's two Sabbath days. You have a high Sabbath, and Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and the Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. When the ladies brought the spices, it was after the high Sabbath day of Passover. This guy's called high Sabbath day. Give me some grace here, Joe. It was not the regular Sabbath day on Saturday. They brought the spices on Friday. First day of the week is not Monday, but rather it's Sunday. Saturday being the last day of the week, God rested from all of his labors. So as the two Marys coming to see the body mourn at sunrise, Jesus was not rising, but rather had already risen. Mark 16:6, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where he lay. So this is a review of the timeline. According to this author, Jesus would have been crucified on Wednesday, taken off the cross sundown Wednesday, buried for 3 nights, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday. Passover, the high Sabbath day on Thursday. Buried for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The regular Saturday, Sabbath day. Jesus rose from the grave Saturday night at 6 p.m., the start of the first day of the week, Sunday. The tomb is empty before the sun rises on Sunday when people start arriving. Now we have the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Okay, so let me ask you this. Did that ever bother anybody else? Did you ever do the math and say, wait a minute, he got crucified on Friday, and he's out of the tomb on, did that ever bother anybody besides me? That he's crucified Thursday, and he's out of the tomb Sunday morning.
Yeah, Coach. I've never bought that 100%. So I've been pretty open with the better teaching on that for a long time.
Let me stop here a second, Randy. Hey, folks, I'm not denying anything about the crucifixion of Christ. Only when it began in this whole tradition of the Holy Week that we now celebrate. Where? That's what I'm questioning. When did this tradition of Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, where did that come from? That's what I'm asking, right? Again, teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Have I made anybody mad yet?
No.
Okay.
I think the reason, I mean, the Catholic Church created that thing called Holy Week. Okay.
Right.
Assuming that the people that they were ruling over, you might say, were just as stupid as they looked or something. I don't know. Okay. And they'd say, okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, well, Joe, we know they didn't have the internet. They didn't have stuff like we have, right? So they would be pretty easy to mislead. Go ahead.
Correct. And the it never made sense to me. Because when Christ said, you know, tear this thing down in 3 days, I will rebuild it. He was talking about himself. And
that's
I'm
right.
I'm pretty sure he meant 3 days.
I think he did too. And you don't get 3 days from Friday to Sunday morning. You don't get 3 days out of that, right?
Correct.
Listen, folks, please understand. I'm not trying to question your faith. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to help us to understand that we have been taught and we are following things that may not be totally and completely biblical. Now, it doesn't necessarily be sinister. As I said, what kind of tablets were they writing on? How were they getting information around to each other? This is all something that's really, we can't even imagine what it was like in those days. But this whole Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, which is today, supposedly, Sunday, man, the numbers don't jive. Anybody with me? Somebody come on in here.
Coach, I was gonna also say that if they have a problem with the concept of day, how long a day really is, then go back to Genesis in the creation. Okay, because it says five times, I think, in there, the evening and the day were the first day.
That's right. Evening and morning. Yep, that's right. It's the first day. So the day, remember this, in the Jewish calendar, the day began at sundown. That God always moves from dark to light, okay? And so we have it really, really back. And see, I would imagine that we began to think that day began in the morning because as tradition, as people began to live their lives, that's when they got up. And so you were beginning your day when the sun came up. That's when your day began. But that's not when the day began, according to the scriptures. The day began at sundown. Anybody have a problem with that? Anybody disagreement with that? I think it's crucial, again, as we study the Bible, understand the measurements of time that they were using. So it was important for Jesus to be crucified before the sun went down. It couldn't have been done. Couldn't have been. I don't know. Cool. Nothing? Nobody with me?
Coach.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're not interrupting. Come on in.
Yes, this is Julie, and I met you when you were down here in Austin.
Yeah, Julie.
Yes, this is Julie. And I just wanted to talk to you, Coach. I keep getting disconnected from you, and there's reasons for that. But online and everything, I'm having trouble with my phone. But to get to the point, I heard you talking earlier, and you were talking about coming out of the Catholic Church and the traditions and all that kind of thing. And there's some excellent, excellent information online at proclaimingthegospel.com. I don't know if you've heard of him, but his name is Mike Gendron, and he came out of the Catholic Church. He's been preaching for a long time. He has a ministry, and his ministry is there to get people to wake up, to come out of the Catholic Church, because it's leading a lot of people to hell.
Julie, one of the things we talk about here, Lai, since you're really kind of a new listener, is we talk about where do these traditions come from? And why are we following some of these traditions rather than following, number one, the traditions that the Lord laid down for us? What are the origins of some of these traditions? And just to take a deeper dive into why we do what we do in Christianity. And as I said, teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men. What does that mean, folks? What does that mean when Jesus said you to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you are teaching the commandments of men? You're teaching the doctrines of men as your commandments. Stop doing that, Jesus said. You with me, Julie?
Yes, I do. I think coming from my own personal experience and going through this, I call it a journey that God has put me on, Jesus. But anyway, of studying all these things, I think it's these doctrines of men, which happened way back then, where they started, you know, men started coming up with their own ideas, and they started following these books and these writings more than they did the Word of God.
That's right, folks. And again, remember, there was no internet, there was no TV, there was no radio, there was no mass distribution of literature. So it would have been easy if you put something down on paper. People couldn't even read, probably. Many of them probably couldn't even read. So the oral tradition, by the way, that's how Islam began to spread, through the oral traditions, right? So we can't be afraid here in 2019 to examine some of the things that they're teaching us that have become really nothing more than tradition. Folks, listen, you can open up the Bible and you can go through it all you want to, and you will not find Holy Week anywhere in the Bible. Now, religion may create an idea of Holy Week and as a celebration or remembrance of what Jesus died for us. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. If you ain't going to find that in the Bible, you're not going to find that in the Bible. Yeah, George.
Yeah, you know, and we have to remember back in Jesus' day, what did they, you know, 400 years before, what had all that system come out of? It came out of Babylon. Well, what came out of Babylon? The Talmud and the Kabbalah. So this thing's really deep. When Jesus was talking about the traditions of men, he was talking to those evil Jews that came out of Babylon that had these twisted, you know, the Talmud teaches that Mary was a whore and that Jesus was a bastard. Now, right. now, they don't just openly say that, but you can open up the Talmud and see that. So much of the Roman Catholic Church came out of Babylon because it was just a continuation of what came out of Babylon.
So, folks, let me thank George. Good, thanks. Good point. Think of this, folks. Just think right now in your own life, right now, with the traditions that are so deeply ingrained in you. If I were to come on here and say, listen, folks, we have got to stop celebrating Thanksgiving. What a pushback you would have. That has been such a part of your life forever. You'd say, what? Thanksgiving? Turkeys? Are you kidding me? We got to stop doing it. Yeah, that's a pagan. What? What if I said that about Christmas? Have you tried that with some of your friends? We shouldn't be celebrating Christmas. Christmas has so many pagan traditions in it. They put Christmas trees up on the altar. Can you imagine the pushback that you get? Can you imagine the pushback we get back if I said, listen, Easter Sunday isn't really Easter Sunday. I'm sorry. It really isn't. That didn't really want to. Do you understand? So we are all indoctrinated through traditions, some which are true, some which are not true, some which are good, some which are not good. But the bottom line is this. When you are following tradition, you get upset when someone tries to point that out. Because if your religion is the tradition, you're missing the whole thing. If your religion is putting ashes on your head on Wednesday, you are missing the whole thing. If your religion is going to Maundry Thursday services, you are missing the whole thing. If your tradition is not eating meat on Friday, you are missing the whole thing. Those are all man-made traditions. Are y'all with me? And it's no different for us today. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Halloween. Who made these holidays and why do we follow them? They are not, I'm sorry, they may have a form of Christianity to it. And then the Bible say, amen, have a form of, but denying the power thereof. And so we are going, I was just watching. I went on the Facebook yesterday and I watched how many people were having Thursday night services and Friday night service. Why can somebody tell me that? Why just this week? Why don't we do that every week? Huh? Why don't we celebrate that every week? Why don't we go to church every Thursday night and every Friday night? What is so special about this week? Who made that decision? It is not in the scripture. Okay. That's all I'm saying. And so we tend to, am I losing any friends today? I'm just asking questions.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
How far back are you going to go with this discussion? Or are you just kind of scraping the surface?
I'm trying to scrape the surface, but if you want to dig a little deeper, well, that's okay.
Well, George was on it. I mean, that he's exactly right. If we understood the beginnings of this, which I did a lesson on this, you know, where they came from, we're in the month of Tammuz. We're in the month of Tammuz, Coach. This is Tammuz. This is Nimrod's son's month that the Jewish calendar named this month after. Do y'all realize that? Look at Ezekiel 8, and you'll see morning of Tammuz. After Tammuz died, he rose as the moon god, and that's who they worship in Hindu. Wow. That's who they worship in Islam, and that's who they worship in the Catholic faith. Tammuz. That's why it's a special month. So if people knew they were worshiping Nimrod and Baal, you know, if they knew that, because that's fact in the Mesopotamian lore and the Babylonian lore, yes, they would be maybe have a chance to change, but no one shares it. And then when it's shared, it's not internalized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
think you're crazy, right, Mark? Or they think you're crazy?
Well, it really torques me off because I got all this knowledge and we learn all these things and we share it and it just hits a wall in the front of people's heads and they keep living. And how do we get past that? If you want to peel it back, it's when Tammuz was killed and they made up an idea that he was reborn as a moon god.
Well, that's it. We love our indoctrination.
Right.
We hate change, and we hate change.
That's right. So, do you
know
when he was killed?
And then you have to make a stand and fight all your family off if you said, we're not having the Christmas trees. But what? I can't believe they're not out. You know, then you have to come. Okay, never mind. We'll have it.
Thanks, Chad.
So he was put down on the 17th of Tammuz, the Shiva El Day Tammuz. Shiva is his mom, and would you believe that's another month in the Truist calendar? Shiva, which is Semiramis.
Wow.
So he was put down on the 17th, and I went and looked. Well, that's Wednesday, Coach. It's another counterfeit.
Because the devil tries to counterfeit everything.
That's right. Y'all are dead on in this conversation, but we got to understand the origins. Where did the evil Jews come from? Who were they worshiping in Babylonia? Tammuz, Nimrod. Mm. It's right there in Ezekiel 8 if you want to see it. It's right there. The people went to have the moon god, the fertility god, to bless their crops, because when the moon comes up, the plants come up, and all this on in April, and that's called the morning of Tammuz. It's right in the King James.
Wow.
Mark.
Yes.
That is excellent teaching. I hope people are getting this. And one more thing, Easter, see, I personally, and hopefully you, everyone on the show, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that alone.
Amen.
I don't celebrate Easter because Mark will tell you this, that's Ishtar. Again, that's paganism. If we celebrate Easter eggs, all that stuff came from paganism out of Babylon. But Mark, excellent teaching, my friend.
That's Ezekiel 8.
Again.
Is that Ezekiel 8?
Ezekiel 8.
I'm going to follow up on that.
Well, basically, I'll give you a quick summary, but you, everyone needs to go read that. This is Ezekiel was given visions by angels coming to him, and at the beginning of the chapter, start with the angel. So the angel comes to him and takes him on a journey. In Ezekiel 8, he takes him to the temple, and he's showing him abominations. That's what the angel's showing him, abominations. So he takes him to the temple, and there's priestesses on the steps of the temple. And the priestesses are prostitutes that you would go to the temple and have sex with the priestesses to worship Tammuz so he would bless your crops. Tammuz, the moon god, the sickle and the star, is one of the three symbols in the Hindu trinity. That's Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Shiva is actually the sickle and the star, which is the moon god, which is who Islam adopted. Islam worships Allah. Allah is Tammuz, okay? And that is the history prior to that, prior to the evil Jews, okay? Now, all the Jews are named, you know, well, not all, but these calendars, this month is the month of Tammuz.
And what calendar is that, Mark? And what calendar is the month of Tammuz?
The Jewish calendar. Now, I just went and looked that up to see what date, you know, these dates that you're mentioning, and there's actually a date called Shiva Del Av Tammuz, and that's April 17th. That's a highly worshipped day, and it all falls under, believe it or not, is purity of the female children of the time. So there's a whole separate process they would go through to sanctify the children, and these are the dates that mattered, you know.
All right, so listen,
I have a very important question I want to ask.
All right, yep.
I'd like someone to help me to understand scripturally this concept of helicopters dumping out thousands of eggs.
Well, listen, I'm going to shift gears here. Bless you, Mark. Maybe you can do a teaching on that. I got so much stuff I want to share with you about Easter that I didn't get to. But I'm going to ask you another question. I'm sorry. I'm rattling all the cages today. Is it okay with you if I do that? Is it okay?
Absolutely.
I love you. Tell me you love me. Say, Coach, we love you, Coach. It's okay. I'm just rattling the cages because, boys and girls, I want to know the truth. And I want to follow the truth. Okay?
We love you, Coach.
Okay, thanks.
Just so you know, this is the month of Nisan. I don't know where you got that calendar, but this is the month of Nisan. Passover's on the 14th. Okay.
I'll need to go get that reference. I just looked it up, Joe, but I need to study this more. I really do, because it torques me off, you know. I'll go get that. I'll work with you one-on-one, Joe. Thank you.
I just want to know the truth, right? So then I asked my wife this morning. I'm sorry. I got to ask it. Hey, we're going to take communion here, okay? I'm going to take communion here in a few minutes. I got mine right here. But I asked my where did that idea come from? Can somebody tell me anywhere in the scripture that we're told to take communion at any special time, any special place? Now, wait a minute. I got the scripture right in front of me. Jared, it's 1 Corinthians. Jesus said in Matthew 26:26, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. This is my body given up for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. And he said, what were they doing? They were having a meal. And at the end of the meal, he told them what was about to happen to him, that his blood for the remission of his sins, he was giving up his body. And he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. As a young child, again, at the Last Supper, that's right. As a young child, when I did my first communion, what does that even mean? Other than, what is a first communion? What does that mean? And doesn't it mean to me, as often as you do this? In other words, we should only remember the body and blood of Jesus when we take the Lord's Supper. That's the only time we should do that. Why do we pray before we eat? Bow your head and bless you. Why do you do that? Because as often as you eat and drink, you do it in remembrance of him. Every time you breathe, you do it in remembrance of him. Every time you get up in the morning, you do it in remembrance of him. Every time you go to work in the morning, you're reminded of what he did for you. Every time you go to bed at night and you lay your head on your pillow, not just when you take this, not Amen. Just then.
Amen, Coach.
I'm sorry. I don't. You guys, some of you go to churches where they take communion every Sunday. I can tell you. Where I was go to church regularly, and I haven't been gone regularly, but where I would go to church regularly, they never take communion. They never do. Now, who's right? Does that mean because we're not doing this every Sunday, we're not remembering the Lord? And does it mean I can only remember his body and blood, his death and resurrection? I can only remember it? Only remember it on when we do the body and blood? That's the only time? I don't think so, see? I think it's another tradition. And when Jesus said, as often as you do this, do what? Eat and drink. I'm right with you. Remember, as often as you eat, you're eating because of what I did. And as often as you drink, you're doing it because of what I did. And do me a favor. Gather together. Assemble yourselves together. And when you assemble yourselves together, hey, when you eat and you drink, think of me, will you? Think of me and what I did. And somebody, somewhere along the line, made that a religious event. And I'm not sure it is. Am I a heretic?
Hey, Coach.
Am I a heretic?
No. Let me ask, did someone ever tell you what you just said about every time you eat, every time you drink? Or did you come to it on your own?
I came to it on my own.
So did I, 30 years ago. It's the truth. That's what he says.
Right.
I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He says it several times.
Yeah.
I'm the living waters. He says it several times. It doesn't have to be wine.
No.
You don't have to do it with your buddies. Every breath you take, pray always. You're in.
Amen. And we turn it into a tradition, right? We turn it into a tradition.
So the priests can control it.
Oh, Lord help us.
That's like saying, Coach, Jesus is only Lord of the Sabbath on the Sabbath day.
That's right. And the only time that you can really get
Lord every day of the week, every day of the week.
No, Randy, the only way that you can ever really get the blessing is if you take this wafer and this communion. It's got to be wine, and it's got to be a hunk of bread, unleavened bread specifically, right? Now, folks, we're going to take communion because it's a tradition that we're going to do. But here's the truth. I want to take communion because we're gathered here together. And we're gathered together here. All of us are believers.
and where you are in your walk with Christ, and where I am with my walk with Christ, and where Joe is in his walk with Christ, and where we're not all in the same place on this journey, but we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. All brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if I wanted to, I could say, hey, listen, how about Monday we get up there and everybody bring some scrambled eggs and we'll all eat scrambled eggs together. Could we eat scrambled eggs together and am I asking a blasphemous question? Does it have to be blood and bread? Can it be scrambled eggs? Could we eat scrambled eggs together and remember the Lord as we're doing it? I say yes. I think he says yes. I'm losing all the people who love me. I'm just asking.
You're not.
I'm just kidding, Joe.
We love you, brother.
Coach, I was going to add for you Christ's Last Supper was a Passover meal.
It was a Passover meal, Joe.
That's right. Sure was.
And because why, Joe? He was going to be the Passover lamb. He was showing them a picture that it's no longer about tradition. That as often as you do this, as often as you eat and drink, you can do it now because I'm your Passover lamb. It's finished, baby. I'm in everything you do. Yeah, Mark.
Amen.
Is it Passover or pass through? Have you heard that the word origin is pass through the veil? Mm. Pass through the veil. Now, Joe, check that one out. I've read about it, but I don't have the context you do. So take that one and let's do some offline work. But I think that makes perfect sense if he's passing through the veil, coming back clean, you know, and all that, right?
Amen.
So,
yeah, I'll help you with that.
Hey, Coach, but that was not his last meal, not here on earth. When he rose from the dead, it says that he was cooking fish on the shoreline when his disciples saw him from afar, brother.
That's true.
Well, guess what? It reminded them of that night. But guess what, brother? They were breaking the food right there and fellowshipping on the shoreline. And it wasn't bread and it wasn't wine. It was fish.
It was fellowship. As often as you come together in fellowship, I'm there. Remember me then.
Brother, it's not a religious thing, brother. It's not a conjugal visit on a Sunday morning, brother. That's what the church is.
All right. So we're running out of time. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Last Supper. And as Dale said, it wasn't his last supper. It was his last supper with them in that situation, right? And who called it the Last Supper? I wonder who came up with that one. The Last Supper. Somebody help me. If it was the night, it's the last breakfast, isn't it?
Hey, this whole show is a mic drop, Coach. This is an amazing show. I love it. Thanks, Dale, for that.
Just to make us think, right? Just to make us think.
Right,
right. How they have programmed us. And remember, where the Spirit of Lord is, there's liberty, brothers. Religion is bondage. Christ came to set us free from that. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 12. And we had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then in the same manner also, he took the cup. I'm sorry, Jared, do you have it up on the screen? Then I can look up there. I'm sure you do. You're always ahead of me. Let me find it here. I don't have to look down. It's rude to the audience to look down. And after the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup. When he had supped it, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood. His blood, folks, listen. His blood ratified the New Testament. He signed it in blood, right? He is signifying here that this New Testament is good because it's in my blood, because I'm signing it with my blood. This do ye as often as you drink. Now, in the King James, it has it in italics, which means that was not in the original
manuscript, they put it in it. What if it said this? This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. Every time you take a cup of water, remember him. Every time you eat a Wendy's Frosty, remember him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Then he gets into whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. Talking about a non-believer, one not in fellowship, one who's, in my opinion, I have a teaching on that. I just don't have time to do it today. But it says this. Here's to me the important thing. Let a man examine himself so that every time you sit down and eat, and every time you call upon the name of the Lord, you examine yourself every time. You don't just examine yourself when you're taking this. You examine yourself every time you eat and every time you drink. And you bow your head and you say your grace. You gather with your friends and your fellow brothers, and you hope they are all in like relationship with Christ. And that if they're not in like relationship with Christ, then they need to get in life. For that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among them, and many sleep. So let's do this right now. This little wafer right here, this represents the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. And every time you eat a hamburger, a banana, an apple, every time you breathe, thank him when you do it. Because it's his liberty that set us free. Go ahead and eat it. And then it just makes common sense that after you've eaten something, you need to drink something to wash it down. And the Lord didn't say, listen, you got to go to church and have the pastor pray over all this stuff so that this bread and this wine that you're eating becomes my actual body and blood. No, no. He said, just listen. He said, I just gave you a little piece of bread. And every time you eat that piece of bread and you gather with your friends, I want you to remember me. Then after you get through eating that little piece of bread or that piece of chicken or whatever it was, and you want to get something to drink, I want you to remember this. Remember me when you do that. Remember the sacrifice of my blood and the sealing of the new covenant. You and I are in a right relationship because of what I did and I went to the cross. And do me a favor, whenever you do this, remember me. Do it in remembrance of me. Go and drink. Lord, I thank you for everyone, my brothers, my sisters that are watching this show now or in some way part of this show. Lord, more than anything, we want to know who you are. We want to know the power of your resurrection. Lord, we don't want to spend resurrection morning sitting in a church simply eating bread and drinking wine. Lord, we want to be able to set the captives free. We thank you that every time that we get up in the morning and every time we eat lunch and every time we eat supper, we remember that the very breath in our lungs and the very liberty in where we walk has been given to us because of your death, your burial, your resurrection. Lord, whether it happened on Wednesday night or whether it happened on Friday night or whether it happened on Thursday night, Lord, we just can't, we don't even care. We just so glad that you did it. And as often as we come together, Lord, sometimes we eat, sometimes we drink, most times we don't. As often as we come together, Lord, let us, we pray, have you be in the midst of our gathering, that you be glorified through us and through all we do.
Your word says that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. So we acknowledge your death and your burial, and your resurrection, and the liberty that you've given us as a result of it. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you on Monday.